people in general had an easier time with this one than they did with the previous one. Anyone who's still having trouble with the quizzes should still not panic. But if you think, like, you know, there's a problem, you know, in terms of following what's going on or understanding what I want from you on the quiz or whatever, definitely we've reached the point in the semester where it would be a good idea to talk to me about it as opposed to pushing it off. The first question on the quiz, someone who is bedridden with a migraine headache, what category of chole should they be? Chole she'en bo sakana, right? We spent a lot of time in class stressing that it's chole she'en bo sakana, to the point where we gave relief to those who have migraines that they have been recognized. And therefore, what do we do for a chole she'en bo sakana? So it was Dirabanans with a shinui.
Yeah. I don't think I got the feedback on the thing.
Did you click the link in the...
So
what I need to do is go back to it and make sure that I actually formally release the scores. So I'm just going to tell you what the feedback was. Number one, the things that you can do for somebody in this situation, for the Chol HaShem Bo Sakana, are... violated Darabanan with a shinui. Amira la'akum, right? Telling a non-Jew to do even a de'oraisa. I'm going to open it up on my computer so I can make sure that I've released the scores now at any rate. But Amira la'akum, even for the non-Jew to do a de'oraisa. And if need be, last resort, even violate a Darabanan without a shinui. That was that chaye adam. A lot of you, I don't remember anymore how many of you, but a lot of you only, here, I'm just releasing the score now. Make sure that everybody should get it. Send emails and release. Okay. Quite a few of you omitted Amira la'akum and only gave the answer about overriding a derabanan. I suspect that's because in the beginning of the quiz, when I gave you examples of what level of law you could override, I didn't explicitly list Amira la'akum. So I only took off 1 point if somebody missed that, but got the others. I took off more points in the event that somebody missed the ability to violate a derabanan with a shinui versus without a shinui. But that was question number one. Anything unclear about question number one? Yeah.
This is personal to me, but I wrote Jeremiah with the shinui, but I got points taken off because it didn't say Jeremiah with the shinui.
Yeah, because that's also something to violate.
Every single...
Yeah, that was the... when I, yes.
Wait, so what are
you
supposed to write?
I thought it was just like, give me one right.
Okay, so no. When I say what level of law we would override, I mean tell me all the things that you can do in order to take care of this patient. I did not mean for you to just give me one example. Got it. Yeah, so because someone might just think that these are the options and I didn't mean to include Amira la'akum, so I said, fine, I'm not taking off more than 1 point for it. You know, 1 point is not going to matter at all in the scheme of things. It's just a way to note, hey, you missed something. But yes, no, the desire was for you to list whatever was relevant in terms of the treatment options, and we did spend quite a bit of time detailing what those treatment options are.
So is the third one that you can just violate the normal?
Correct. But only if necessary. That's something that you want to make sure to stress. In other words, it's not just you can do derabanans with a shinui, derabanans without a shinui, like there's no difference. It's not true.
And the order we listed them is the preferable.
Right. So I'm going to come back to that. That's going to be one of the things I want to talk about following up from last class. So hang in there with that question. Okay. The second one was someone whose ear is mostly severed, but it could be restored surgically. So, bless you. The answer I was looking for was sakanas aver, because it's danger to the ear, and that's what most of you said. There was somebody who said it's safek pikuach nefesh because for two reasons. One person actually wrote because we noted that Rabbi Melamed pointed out that many doctors say that when you have a danger to a particular body part, it can connect to greater dangers to life, which is something that we talked about from other sources and ideas as well. We talked about with the heart and the eye. So I think I gave credit for that because you presented the logic and the logic made sense. So I said, fine. There's also the possibility just that a person has, you know, an ear that's mostly severed. They're probably bleeding a lot. So, you know, that can be a direct risk as a result. So, you know, I didn't reject the idea that it could be pikuach nefesh. If somebody, I don't think anybody said, yeah, chol hashem bo sakana, but if you did, that's not right. The case of a mostly severed ear is definitely at least sakana sever. An adult, any questions on that?
Yes.
Yes.
Why is it not, like, if it can lose its ability to function, aren't you able to then derive
it? No, that's sakana sever. That's what allows you to violate a derabanan. Losing its ability to function is the category of sakana sever. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
If you think
I made a mistake with it, let me know. You guys all got the email now with the feedback things?
Yeah.
Okay, so I must have just forgotten to click that. Thanks. An adult with a fever of 104 degrees. Right answer was? Right. You could have written Yeshbo Sakana, Pikuach Nefesh, Safe Pikuach Nefesh. All of those got credit. And we went through a lot of discussion about fevers and the different levels of fevers. And even though I said to you in class, don't pay as much attention to the number as to the issue of, do people react to this like, this is dangerous, get you to the hospital, or do people react to it as like, okay, so take Tylenol and stay home. I specifically, when I gave those categories, I gave you numbers for those, right? I said, if someone has 100, I think I used the number, I think I said 104 degrees, that we're scared about, get them to the hospital, give them a sponge bath, whatever, whereas 101, 102, all right, so stay home, take Tylenol. Yes, Ricky?
Well, wouldn't that be based on numbers of, like, how you would react? Like,
yeah.
If you hear, like, oh, someone has 105 fever, you're like, oh, my God, this is
yeah.
But if you hear someone's, like, 102, then, like...
Yeah, there's no question that numbers figure in for people on a practical level. It's just that I don't want to give a number... because giving a number will cause people to miss what really matters.
Oh,
and what really matters will vary based on the person, right? If you have somebody who's frail, if you have somebody who has a complicating condition, then your concerns don't necessarily, you know, get triggered by the same number as somebody who is in regular health.
Right.
So that getting stuck on numbers is a mistake on this. A two-year-old child with a cold. So there, I specifically chose 2 years old in order to be within everybody's category of child equals chol hashem bo sakana automatically. And therefore, the same rules pertain as did in number one, which is to say, amira la'akum for a deoraisa, drabanan with a shinui, if need be, drabanan without a shinui. And again, if somebody skipped the amira la'akum one, I only took off 1 point. And then the last one, 90-year-old man contracts pneumonia. So I realize that, you know, age is relative and it depends on whether you know 90-year-olds who happen to seem very healthy and fine and all that. But generally speaking, I think it can be commonly accepted in society that pneumonia for somebody who is 90 years old is definitely a safek pikuach nefesh case. That's not one of those where you just say, okay, so just stay home today. You need to get this person seen. Okay, so that was the quiz. Oops. Good? Hopefully? Anybody has any...
Have you ever written pikuach nefesh for the pneumonia?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, for both that one, for both number three and number five, if somebody wrote pikuach nefesh or safe pikuach nefesh or chol hashiyesh bo sakana, I gave credit for all of them. They're, even though technically safe pikuach nefesh is a different category, we treat it the same as pikuach nefesh for our purposes, so we lump them all together. It's fine. Yes, Natalie. They're not. They are the same. That's what I'm saying. I use the phrase chol hashiyesh bo sakana less because it creates confusion with chol hasha'ein bo sakana. But chol hashiyesh bo sakana and pikuach nefesh are literally the same thing. Safek pikuach nefesh in theory is different because you would say pikuach nefesh is I know I have to do something to save this person's life. Safek pikuach nefesh is I might need to do something to save this person's life, but because we treat them the same, we lump them together as a category. Because we already said from the Mishnah, we treat safek pikuach nefesh like pikuach nefesh. We do not distinguish. Okay? So, you know, a doctor is on call and their phone rings and they don't know. They have patients for whom that phone call could be pikuach nefesh and they have patients for whom it might not be. They have no way to know. They absolutely answer the phone. Yeah. Okay. So that was following up on the quiz. There were two questions from last time that I wanted to just revisit. Number one, excellent question that was asked. I don't remember anymore who asked it, so everybody can claim credit. But the question of what would you do first, Amira La'akum or Derabanan, Amira La'akum for a Deoraisa or Derabanan with a Shinui, right? Right, but let's say, before we start answering, just to clarify the question, the question fundamentally is, you're correct. What Rebecca points out is correct. If it's a choice between Amira La'akum for a Derabanan and Derabanan with a Shinui, undoubtedly Amira La'akum for a Derabanan is going to come first. But in the event that those are my two options, Amira La'akum for a Deoraisa, or I can do a Derabanan with a Shinui, then what? So Leah says, right. So that's certainly one way to look at it. It's a reasonable argument. I did a lot of digging, spoke to other rabbis to see what they had on it, and found that no one really has a clear, definite answer for this, at least of the Sfarim that I looked at and the rabbis I consulted. One of the reasons why there isn't a clear response on this is because it's kind of a bizarre case, right? I imagine a circumstance in which you have two choices. I could ask a non-Jew to do a De'oraisa specifically, or I could do a Derabanan with a Shinui. Like, if I could do a Derabanan with a Shinui, why couldn't I ask a non-Jew to do the Derabanan with a Shinui and be done with the problem? It's a little bit of an odd question in terms of where is this going to come up, and because it doesn't come up, so no one ever needs to answer it. But also it's difficult because on the theory level, it's difficult. And the reason goes back to a little bit of what Leah was actually saying here. Malacha is problematic inherently, right? Malacha is problematic inherently. What I mean by that is, the Torah says don't do these things, right? I have 39 malachas I'm not allowed to do. Even if that gets downgraded to a derabanan, let's say because you do it with a shinui, it's still a malacha. Which is why, if I have a choice between Amira La'akum and doing a Malacha De'oraisa with a Shinui, I'm going to choose Amira La'akum. The question becomes, what if what we're talking about is the Malacha itself is already down to a Derabanan, right? It's already Malacha Shenitzvich Lagufa, it's whatever, however I wanted to knock it down to a Derabanan, and I'm doing it with a Shinui. Does that two-step decline drop it below the level of Amira La'akum in terms of severity? That's where things become less clear. Part of this will also be contingent, because I don't think I'm done confusing you yet, so I want to add a level. Part of this will be something we'll revisit when we talk about Amira La'akum, meaning our next topic is going to be to talk about ways to downgrade malacha, and one of them is asking a non-Jew to do things for you. And the question is, why is it usher to have a non-Jew do something for you on Shabbos? We're going to see there are multiple ways to explain that. Some of those ways are closer to De'oraisa. Some of those ways are closer to De'rabanan. So the better or worse Amira La'akum is going to influence how you answer this question. So overall, my answer to you is, right now, I'm not sure which is better. Amira La'akum for a De'oraisa or De'rabanan with a Shinui? If someone, God forbid, is in a situation like this, they should ask the non-Jew to do the Derabanan. That would be ideal. Yes, Rebecca?
Is there any source that equates the two? Because Amira La'akum in and of itself is a Derabanan, and then you're debating between doing a Derabanan and doing a Derabanan.
So,
like, is there anyone who says that, like, they're the same because of both Derabanan, or it's not, you should just do...
Right. So the problem is that Derabanans don't lend themselves to comparison. And that's something that's actually going to come up later today. Because there are different reasons for something being prohibited midrabanan. Right? We already talked about that a little bit in the differentiation between gezeros that are standalone and derabanans that are a de'oraisa that just got knocked down a peg. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. There's a piece from the Vilna Gaon where he talks about, we're not going to get to that Vilna Gaon, but there's a piece from the Vilna Gaon where he talks about considering a malacha derabanan to be worse than standalone gzeros. Like, there's a lot to talk about with that. But that's a basic principle. Next to last preview piece is someone asked me at the end whether Sfardim follow this Rama. Meaning, we brought the Rama who talked about a child being an automatic Chole She'en Bo Sakana. And the question was, that was Natalie's question, right? So the question is that only an Ashkenazi thing? So the answer is, it seems not. Rav Avadya Yosef quotes this Rama, and there actually is a Machaber as well. If you take a look on your sheet at source number one, I'm looking at the wrong sheet. You should look at your sheet at source number one. I'm going to look at my sheet at source number one. Okay, actually, sorry, one step back. Take a look at source number one, because now that I'm looking at the right sheet, I realized that I actually brought you a source on that issue of weighing Malacha Derabanan with a Shinoi versus Amira La'akum. Take a look at the first source there. This is from Rav Shechter, Rav Herschel Shechter, Sefer Eretz HaTzvi. He gives you a hierarchy of Malachos. He says, Ubiyasod Ha'inyan Hanal. At the foundation of this matter that he's been discussing, it would appear correct to say that when you're dealing with the laws of Shabbos, there are three different categories of Isser, of prohibition. Diyesh malacha de'oraisa, there are de'oraisas. Viyesh malacha de'rabanan, so far so good. Viyesh gezeros, and then there are these separate rabbinic decrees. Vinira, dehadimatiran amira lenochri umashmiya kol be'ad chole she'im bo sakana. It appears that when we say Amira Lenachri is permitted, or there's a separate case which we didn't get into in the Shulchan Aruch where they talk about making a loud noise heard, which is a Dirabanan as a standalone Dirabanan, separate concern we're not going to go into, for the sake of a Chole She'en Bo Sakana, he says, Hachi Taime, or Hainu Taime, I'm not sure what the Hei test stands for, it could be either one, Dibachol HaGezeros Hitiru Chachamim B'makom Chole. The reason why we allow Amira Lenachri, you can tell the non-Jew to do it for you, is because the rabbi said we permit our gezera in the case of somebody who is ill. Umemela who had dinami be isurei mukta, and the same thing is going to apply then, we would permit mukta also for the sake of this chole she'en bo sakana, because mukta is another standalone derabanan. Ube issa refua, as well as the prohibition against medical treatment on Shabbos, that's considered a standalone gezera. Those are not at the level of a malacha derabanan. So what you see there in the Eretz HaTzvi is that Rav Shechter is drawing a clear distinction between malacha that's been bumped down to a derabanan and standalone gezeros, standalone decrees. Is that clear? Rebecca? More or less, yeah.
We're saying that, like, the derabanans that are made to avoid a derabanan, and then there are standalone derabanans, and we're just, like, framing that as, like, the ones that are to avoid a derabanan are actually derabanans, and the standalone ones are not actually derabanans, they're zero.
So, I don't think he would quite call it, use those terms. He would say that you have a malacha de'oraisa, you have a malacha derabanan. It retains the title of malacha. It just happens to be. It's not the biblical form of it. Not a lest you do the de'oraisa, which I admit is the way I would usually think of it. But it is a malacha. It's just that the rabbis prohibited it instead of the Torah prohibiting it. Whereas the gezera, that's something brand new. Mukta, brand new thing that they proposed. Gezera of don't take medicine because it could lead you to grind, brand new thing that they proposed, not something that is inherently a malach and just getting bumped down. If this is opaque to people, like, don't worry. This is extra credit, if you will. Not that there's such a thing as extra credit. Don't get your hopes up. But it's an important note to explain somewhat the issue that we were talking about on Monday. But if you're not following it, don't panic. Okay? Anyone panicking? A little bit. Okay. But now going where I was going with this, in terms of Sephardim, if you take a look at source number 2, this is from the Machaber, Rabbi Yosef Karo. And he says, Ba'artzot Karot, in cold countries, right? Not that he knows of one, because he's from Turkey and he ends up in Sfat, like he thinks he knows what cold is. But fine, in cold lands, Mutter le'enu Yehudi lasos medura b'shvil haketanim. So a non-Jew could make a bonfire on behalf of kids. And adults will be allowed to then warm themselves by it because it was done for a permitted purpose. And if it's really cold, then you could even have him make it for the adults, because the rule is everybody is considered sick when you're dealing with cold temperatures. So that's why if it's really cold, he could even do it for adults. And then he says, the next line is important. Veloka osam shenoagim heter afalpi she'ena kor gadol bayomahu. He says, but not like those who are going to allow this even if it's not that cold that day. Like, it really has to be cold. Now, he's not giving you a number. He didn't have a thermometer. Maybe he did. I don't know. I don't think so. So he just says it's a subjective and you need to know. What is cold? What is cold enough that a kid is now considered to have a need, and therefore it's called a she'en bo sakana? And what is cold enough that even an adult would be rendered a chol she'en bo sakana? Yes, Bailey. Bailey knows what cold is. Yes.
Would this potentially like transfer over into the heating in your house? Like, what if the heating system in your house is like off accidentally, and it's a very cold day, and maybe your window's broken or something?
Right.
Then would a non-Jew be able to turn it on for you?
So the question would be, the answer is in principle, yes. The question would be, how could the non-Jew do it in a way that's derabanan? Because heating systems tend to involve fire. So you don't want them lighting a fire, because that's a deoraisa. So then the question becomes something like, if they push the button, is that a derabanan? Sorry?
In this example, making the fire.
Right, because you're asking him, right, so that, I'm sorry, you are correct. Thank you for the correction. You are asking a non-Jew, and that's the derabanan piece of it, and then he can do it however. You're right, 100% true. So yes, the answer is, if there's a little kid, and again, the definition of little kid goes back to the discussion that we had, is that 2 years old, is that 7 years old, is that up to 9 years old? But yes, you could ask the non-Jew to do that on Shabbos, and if it's cold enough that the adults are actually now in the category of choleh, they're in the category, then yes. Go back to the question we asked the other day, can you just tell them to go next door where the heat works? That's a legitimate question. But that's the idea. So I brought that for you just to show you it's Rabbi Yosef Karo invoking the child as chole category. That's the idea. Happens to be that the source that he's quoting is actually an Ashkenazi source. That's how far he had to go to get to someone living in a cold country. Natalie and then Daniela.
But there's no age discussion at all.
The age discussion is the same as what we had when we talked about this originally. But that's true in the Ashkenazi ones also. It's only that there are those who have this discussion of, so what exactly does that constitute? What makes someone a child? But that's true in all the sources that deal with Katan at the Shulchan Aruch level. Meaning, take a look at source number 3, which was the next source I was going to show you. Then I'll come back to Daniela. This is a non-food case. Remember I said to you that it was interesting that the Rama specifically brought a food case? You're talking about having a non-Jew prepare food? But take a look at number 3, where it's a separate case. Eino Yehudi shehidlik es haner b'shvil Yisrael. If a non-Jew lights a candle for a Jew on Shabbos, the rule is aser lakol. No one is allowed to benefit. This is not an illness case. As a general principle, a non-Jew does malacha for you on Shabbos. You're sitting in shul in the base medrash, and the light's off, so you can't read. And then a non-Jew comes in and turns on the light for you. You have to leave the room. You're not able to use the light that they turned on your behalf. That's a different story. So that's where we're going to go when we talk about Amir La'akum. If he turns it on for his own purposes, that's a different story. And then you get a big discussion. Well, what, he turned it on for his job. He isn't turning it on so that he can read, but he turned it on because his job is to turn it on. So therefore, maybe you're allowed to benefit also. That's a great discussion we haven't had yet. But the non-Jew turns it on for a Jew. No one's allowed to benefit. Even a Jew who the non-Jew didn't light the fire for. It doesn't make a difference. But if he lit it for his own use, the non-Jew, or for a Jew who is ill, afilo ein bo sakana, even somebody who's not dangerously ill, and then the Rama throws in, o litzarech ketanim, or for the sake of kids, du kechola shein bo sakana, because we treat him like a chola who is not dangerously ill. Back to the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, muter lechol Yisrael ishtamesh la'oro, any Jew can use the light. I brought this for you initially just to show you the Rama mentioning this in a non-food context. But now it also serves to show Natalie, again, they just say katan, they don't go into the ages. The ages are really a separate analysis of what did he mean when he said katan, coming from Achronim. That's the idea. Daniela and then Ahuva.
Yeah, for the previous case of the fire, are we not concerned that adults even when it's super cold, Kholashen Bo Sakana?
Correct. Oh no, when it's super cold, we are calling them Kholashen Bo Sakana. That's correct. But only when it's super cold.
Okay.
For a minor, whatever minor means, we're less strict. The standard is lower.
But then they're not. Like, that doesn't follow with the, like, that they're not allowed to be there. If the adults are benefiting from it, even though they're not.
No, if it's lit legitimately for the kid, then the adults can be there.
Okay.
Yeah. That's fine. As long as it was lit for a legitimate purpose, everybody else is able to benefit. That's the principle. Yes, Ahuva.
So what's the difference between this and
what's the difference between this and
turning on the lights?
Because in the heating system, the Jew is a chol hashem bo sakana. In the light circumstance, what's the illness?
Oh, so doesn't he say that, like, you can ask the non-Jew and then he can do it in a way that would be
derisive? No, what we had said with the heating system was, because the kid is a chola, he's allowed to turn on the heat for the kid. Even if it's Daraisa, he's allowed to turn on the heat for the kid. So too, if the kid needs light, automatically the kid is a chola, and therefore he's able to turn on the light for the kid. That's what we're allowing. Is that clear? For everybody? Natalie. Correct. Correct. This happens to be an illustration of it.
And that was his implication.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. I think so. Right.
So, like, this is very situational, but if you had, like, a base medrash, which is lit up on Shabbos, and there was someone who wanted to learn in there, and there was both a kid and a non-Jew nearby, you could bring the kid into the base medrash, be like, oh, kid's in here, kid needs light.
I suppose.
Like,
I mean, I think you're right. I think you're correct. Hopefully the kid stays.
Right.
You know, it should be legit.
Or
but
the non-Jew reads something.
Yeah. And that's usually what's done. Usually what's done is if the base medrash light is off, so you invite in the non-Jew and you say to him, you want to come read a book? And he says, well, there's no light. How am I reading a book? And then he turns on the light. That's actually, you know, you've all, I hope, at some point heard the term Shabbos Goy, right? So the origin of it, as described in the Aruch HaShulchan, who's writing in Lithuania 100 and something years ago, is that if it was cold at night, they would invite the non-Jewish neighbor over for a drink of something, and the non-Jew would then say, wow, it's cold in here, and he would light the oven for himself. And that way everybody had heat. That was the way it worked. As opposed to having somebody, you know, on salary who's just, you know, changing things and doing stuff that do not fit the halachic, you know, principles here. Like, you have to be careful. People expand it in interesting ways. Okay, last item is not really a discussion item for right now. Wow, it's late. It's not really a discussion item for right now. It's something that I've been thinking about and wanting to do since the first semester, and I contacted some people within administration to ask them what they thought and got an answer this week. So it took a little while, but that's okay. For a lot of the principles that we're talking about, there are you know, all the applications that we've been giving. So we've given a lot of painkiller type of applications, and we've talked about some more serious illness applications. But there are also mental health applications. I gave one example of it with an OCD treatment when we talked about Chalel Shabbos Achas. There are many more that I think are appropriate to give and relevant for people to know about. At the same time, these are sensitive topics, and I don't want to do something that's going to create difficulty for anybody here in ways that talking about, you know, broken bones and severed ears do not. So what I'm going to ask is, if there is an issue for anybody in me using those kinds of cases, depression, anxiety, eating disorder, things like that as examples, you know, let me know offline. And then I will choose not to go there because there's plenty to talk about without it. But if it does work for people, then I would import those. Clear? Okay. All right, so all of that was just wrap up of old things. Now let's do something new. We're talking about Miktsas Choli. Miktsas Choli and Mechush, but that's what we're going to explain. Sorry? Okay, we're going to get to that also. These are, remember the way we framed this initially, and I'll grab the marker.